Good morning, church. It's so good to be back with you. If you've been tuning in for the last couple of weeks, you know that I haven't been preaching. I have been able to take some time away to pray and also think about the direction of our church. I've asked God to give me vision and some clarity on the way forward in our church. And I'm so happy the Lord has been so faithful. He has put some things on my heart that I've been able to share with our church board, and you'll be hearing about those things soon. One of those things is our small groups that we are calling LIFT groups, Life in Fellowship Together. Life in Fellowship Together. This last week, one of my pipes broke at my home, and I knew that I could not fix it by myself, and so I called Pastor Mac. I said, "Mac, I need your help," and I was so thankful for him because I could not have done it alone. And you know, the Christian journey is like that. We cannot walk this life with Jesus by ourselves. We truly need others. We are better together. I truly believe that. You know, this last week I read a scripture in Romans, and really this is the heart of our LIFT groups as we meet together. Paul says this in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. He says, "I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." And that's really the purpose of our small groups, where we are encouraged by one another's faith in Jesus. And so that's my prayer, and really my prayer for us this morning as we read God's Word, that we would be encouraged in our faith with Jesus, and that Christ would be formed in our hearts. This last week, I spoke with a good friend of mine who's a pastor who has made a deep impact on my life, who has encouraged my faith in Jesus. He is right now suffering from cancer and doesn't have very long to live. And he understands that he could go home any day to be with the Lord. But in our conversation, as we mutually encouraged one another, I remember something that he said. He said, "We have to get better at doing community. We have to get better at this. We have to get better at relationships here now on this earth. Because when we go home to be with the Lord, for the believer, we are going to be doing community forever, first with Jesus and then with each other." And so I want to challenge us all today, here in this moment, to say, "God, help me put away all the small stuff and not be worried or distracted by the small stuff that's going on in this world." If you are married, take some time to cherish your spouse, to put him or her above yourself. If you're single and you're have friends, make sure you're valuing them more than you value yourself. And in so doing, right, we mutually encourage one another in the face of Jesus. And in so doing, we live this kingdom life that we read about in Scripture. In other words, let's pray that God would help us humble ourselves. This morning, really the heart of what I want to communicate this morning is Christ being formed in us, in our inner being. And so the Scripture this morning comes out of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, open up your Bibles to verses 14 through 21. I'll read it here for us. It says this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So what's happening here in this prayer that Paul is praying to make him pray in such an emotional way? Paul says, for this reason or for this cause, I kneel before the Father. We know that most Jews, when they prayed with their hands extended out like this or up like this. But Paul says he doesn't do this. It says that he kneels before the Father. Perhaps he gets prostrate before the Father. I mean, it's this deep emotional prayer for the church of Ephesus, for the Ephesians. Why did he pray like this, this deep emotional prayer? Well, we can get a sense of that if you go back and we read Ephesians chapter 1 and onward. We read about how Paul praises God. He praises God for blessing God's covenant people. Now, when I say covenant, that's kind of a word that we don't use all the time. It's in the Old Testament. When we read the word covenant, just think of Abraham's family. And now Paul is praising God because no longer do you have to be an Israelite to be part of God's covenant people. Anyone can be a part of God's family. And he's praising God through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have been adopted into His family. And now we can experience forgiveness of our sins and we can experience grace because of Jesus Christ. I'd say that's something to praise God about. And that's exactly what Paul is praising God about in Ephesians chapter 1. In chapter 1, also in verse 10, Paul lays out God's purpose. God's purpose in verse 10 in chapter 1 says to bring unity. Unity, that key word, to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In one translation, it says to gather all things in heaven and on earth. That word gather, I love that word gather. It means to unite or it means to sum up. The word gather, as one commentator puts it, it's the process of adding up a column or figures, putting the sum at the top. Paul's idea that he's trying to communicate here is that God will make all things add up. Isn't that great? That he's going to make all things add up at the end. And right now, he's in the process of coming up to that final sum. One day, he's going to make all things add up. All the right, he's going to make wrong. Praise the Lord that God is in the process of doing that. He's in the process of restoring and renewing us. And his desire is that we would all be in unity under Christ. You know, that's God's plan right from the beginning, that we would be a large family under Jesus, the Messiah. We'd be in unity under Him. His plan was not for division. His plan was not division between nations. His plan was not that we would have divided hearts. In fact, if you are divided right now in a relationship, I would challenge you to go to God and ask God how He can help you make things right with another person. And so Paul prays this amazing prayer, friends, that we who are believers, let me say that if I haven't said already, this prayer that Paul prays is for you, the believer, that you would comprehend the limitless love of Christ, that you would know this love that Christ has you. So let's take a closer look at Paul's prayer here. In verse 16, Paul prays to God because God has unlimited resources. He says this in verse 16, I pray that out of His glorious riches, out of His glorious riches. When I read that line there, I said, what is glory? I mean, that's so hard to understand. What's God's glory? You know, that's so hard to describe, friends, because God's glory is not a thing. It's not like the shirt I am wearing. It's not like my shoes God's glory is not like the pizza I ate last night. No, God's glory is really hard to describe. God's glory is not those things. Perhaps we can get a glimpse of God's glory as we read the Bible from cover to cover, like we are doing here in our church. In fact, writers in the Bible, prophets, have tried to describe God's glory. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, Isaiah says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" I mean, have you tried to do that? Measure waters in your hand? You can't do it. It's going to leak out of your hands, but God has. Who has measured off the heavens with His fingers? Can you do that? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains on and the hills on a scale? You see, when Paul prays, he's praying out of this glory, or according to this glory. Well, what Paul means here by God's glory, he's meaning that God is so great, He's so holy, He's so pure, He's so righteous. Friends, we can't even begin to fathom the glory of God. And so Paul prays to God because God is so glorious. He has unlimited resources. And so we too, when we pray, we should pray with this knowledge, this deep knowledge that God has unlimited resources. I don't know what you're going through today or what you will go through tomorrow, but friends, if you are a believer, I want to remind you that you serve a God who has unlimited resources. So think about that right now. What you're going through. You serve a God who has unlimited resources. The second thing Paul prays here is in verse 16, is he prays that God will strengthen the church with power through His Spirit. He will strengthen the church with power through His Spirit. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a hurricane. I know I haven't, but I've watched plenty of the news, and I see people when a hurricane comes, preparing for it, and they put plywood over their windows and over their homes and their businesses. Why do they do that? They do that to strengthen their home. They do that to strengthen their business so that their home or their business won't be destroyed. They'll be able to preserve it. They'll be able to fortify it so that their home might still be livable. How does God strengthen us like that? Well, He does it through His Spirit. He does it through the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us. When you accepted Christ, the Spirit, the very Spirit of God, came to live in us. The Spirit of God is the one who works in us, who energizes us. Well, how does that happen? Paul says this in Ephesians 2, 12-13. He says, "Remember that time when you were separate from Christ." I think all of us who are in Christ now, who've accepted Christ, we can remember the time when we were separated, when we were not with Christ, when we were against Christ. Paul goes on to say, "Remember that time you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." That's how Christ works in us. That's how Christ, we are close with the Holy Spirit, because it's the blood of Christ that has brought you near Him. Like that song, Amazing Grace, says, "Once I was lost, but now I am found. The Spirit of God brought you to Himself." You are now united with Christ. Once you held unforgiveness in your heart, but now you are able to forgive. Once you were not able to love others, but now you recognize the love of God, and so you are able to love others and value others even above yourself. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so the Holy Spirit guides us as we yield our lives to Him and we experience His strength and power. I remember when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, woke me up. Once I was committed to the church of the NBA, I like to say, or the church of the NFL, and my whole life revolved around sports. We all have our stories, don't we? But the Spirit of God convicted me. One day I opened up God's Word and I turned to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, where it said, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for the present life and the life to come." The Spirit of God woke me up. The Spirit of God brings truth to our lives. The Spirit of God convicts us of sin. The Spirit of God wakes us up. The list could go on. The list could go on once I was lost or once I was this, but the Spirit of God woke me up. Praise God. And so he prays for the Spirit of God to strengthen us. The third thing he prays here, also from verse 16, that I really want us to hear and understand, is he prays for the inner man to be strengthened. He says, May God strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. You know, I want you to know that when I pray for the church, individuals in our church, when I pray for you, I pray for your specific challenges. I know some of you are trying to overcome some addictions. I know some of you are struggling in your marriage. I know some of you are struggling with some health challenges. And I know some of us are just struggling with pure chaos in our life. And I want you to know I'm praying for those specific things. And I want us all to be praying for each other in those specific areas. And I think we should pray for each other in those areas. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. It says to pray with all kinds of prayers and petitions with thanksgiving in our hearts. And so it's good and right for us to pray those prayers. But I want you to know the heart of the Apostle Paul here. And I want you to know my heart as a shepherd of God's church here is that I pray for your inner man to be strengthened. I pray for your inner man to be strengthened. I pray for the inner man. The inner man is your inmost being. It's the part of your life where God is able to convict you of sin and to move us towards Him closer and closer. It's deep in our spirit where God tells us what is right and what is truth and what is wrong. It's the center of all of our emotions and will. It's the place where we're able to feel and experience peace, love, and joy. It's this place where we experience what Jesus says in John 10:10, this more and full, abundant life. That is the place, our inner man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them?" In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Friends, this is the prayer that we should be praying. This is the prayer that I want you to pray for me. It's the prayer that I pray for you, that your inner man would be strengthened. Because let's face it, friends, as I spoke to my friend, this pastor, I referenced at the beginning of my talk this morning, our outward body's wasting away. And some of us know that more than others when we wake up in the morning. We know that after we've worked hard all day, like I did digging in my yard trying to fix this broken pipe, my back was hurting the next morning. We know all about this, that our outward body's wasting away. Friends, our real need is to have our inmost being renewed by God. Now, God has already done that through His Holy Spirit when we have accepted Christ. But God's desire for us is that we would keep in step with the Holy Spirit and we would stay with Him so that He can continue to renew us day by day by day. So our real need is not so much the outer body. Our real need is to be renewed in our inner being. Our real need is to be renewed in our inner being so that when temptation comes, Or like Ephesians chapter 6 says, when the day of evil comes, we would be able to stand up against evil. When the storm comes, right? When the hurricane comes, if our inner man is strengthened by the Spirit of God, we're going to be able to stand the test of that storm. That's why we need our inner man strengthened. I need my inner man strengthened so that when another woman walks by, that I'm not tempted to look at that woman lustfully. I need my inner man strengthened that I keep my eyes only on my wife. I need my inner man strengthened so that when my kids make me really, really mad, I respond to them with love that is patient and not rude. I need my inner man strengthened that when there's fighting going on and other kinds of chaos, that I'm not a part of that divisiveness. I need my inner man strengthened. 2 Corinthians 4:16-17 talks about how our bodies are dying and decaying, and it says this: that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that is vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. That's why this is such a good prayer, friends. That's why I want you to pray this for me, that my spirit might be renewed. I was reminded of a quote this last week by evangelist D.L. Moody. In talking about his spirit being renewed, he said this. He said, one day you will read in the newspaper that Moody is dead, but do not believe it for a moment, because on that day I will be more alive than I ever have been before. You see, that's because God is renewing us. And we will be renewed when we meet Him face to face. The Spirit of God renews us in our inner man. So pray that prayer for yourself. Pray that for me. Pray that for others, that they would constantly keep in step with the Spirit of God and thus being renewed day by day. Pray that we continue to submit to God so that He can continue renewing us day by day. Now, why does Paul pray this prayer? Well, verses 17 through 19 give us an idea here. Paul prays that the church would know the limitless love of Christ. Let me read this bold ending to his prayer. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Remember, this is for the believer. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul prays that Christ would dwell in our hearts. I love that word dwell because it means to settle down. He prays that Christ might settle down in our hearts. And like I said, remember, he's talking to believers. So he's praying that we would progressively know Christ more and more. We call this sanctification, that we would know Christ more and more. Christ would be formed in our hearts more and more every day. He prays this prayer that we would know His love so we would not resist His Spirit. We would cooperate with the Spirit of God. Paul prays that we would know this love of God in such a deep way. I'm not too sure how many of you know the name Brennan Manning. Brennan Manning was a Franciscan priest and a Christian author, writer, and he had a great struggle with alcohol. Brennan Manning, in one of his journals, told about a 20-day silent retreat with God. Can you imagine? 20 days just with you and God alone. For 20 days, he spent time with the Lord. And he came really face to face with the Lord in his belief about God, and you know, alcoholism that he was dealing with. And in his journal, he confessed that though he was a Franciscan priest and a Christian writer and a sought-after speaker, there was this great divorce, he said, in his mind, in his head. He said, there was a great divorce between my head and my heart that had endured throughout my ministry. He said, for 18 years, I proclaimed the good news of God's passionate, unconditional love. He said, I was utterly convicted in my head of God, but not feeling Him in my heart. He said, I never felt loved. You see, Brennan Manning always believed in God. He studied it. He illustrated it. He wrote about it. He counseled people about it. But he never had this deep knowledge of God's love for himself. And I wonder about how many of us might be in the same position as Brennan Manning this morning. Paul prays in verse 19 that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge. What Paul is saying here, friends, is that he prays that your belief in God will make it from your head to your heart, that you would know this love in a deep, intimate way. I don't know how many of you understand or how you would define belief or believe versus the word knowledge. I think most people typically would define belief as some gut-level belief that we have about something, like a personal belief about something. And we might define knowledge as just, you know, purely intellectual. But that's not how people in the Bible understood those two words. It's not the language of the Bible in most scriptures. You see, the Bible, people understood this word belief as just merely theory. Like, I believe this about God. And it wasn't until they experienced this thing about God did they really come to really believe in it. They would understand knowledge as deeper than belief. Knowledge is knowing something intimately because you actually experienced it. It wasn't just theory. You actually experienced and you knew it in a very, very deep way. That's how Paul prays, that we would know this love of God, this limitless love of God in a deep way. You see, most of us believe that it's bad to touch a hot stove. But there's some of us who know that it's bad to touch a hot stove. Why? Because we've actually experienced and we've suffered the consequences of touching a hot stove. You see, let me talk about it in a different way. I know that my wife loves me. Why do I know this? Because I know it. I've experienced her love in a deep, intimate way. I know it because she has chosen me over other men. I know it because when I was depressed at one time in my life, she stood by me, lifting me up and encouraging me. I know that she loves me. I know that she loves me. I've experienced her love because when I am a jerk, she still loves me and she still chooses me. Why do I know it? Because I've experienced her love in a deep, emotional way. This is Paul's prayer, friends, that we wouldn't just believe, have head knowledge, but we would know and experience his love. Well, finally, friends, how does this happen? How does the Spirit of God help us know God in this way? Does it just happen? Yes, the Spirit of God does this work. But is there anything that God uses in our life to draw us to Himself? Yes, there is. We we can find it in the pages of God's Word. In fact, one of those places is in Acts chapter 2, this amazing story of when the church was born at Pentecost. Let me read these scriptures to you. Acts 2, 42 through 47 says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. It says a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Something amazing was going on here. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So what did God use in their lives to help them know the Spirit of God in a deep, personal way? What did God use in their lives to strengthen their inner man? Well, number one, God used His Word. You see, this new church that was born devoted themselves to the Scripture, to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to that, friends. And friends, when we devote ourselves to God's truth, our inner man begins to be strengthened, fortified to stand up against the tests of the storms that come our way. And He begins to renew us. There's a scripture in Ephesians, I think, that says to be renewed in our minds. The Spirit of God uses His Word. The other thing that we read about here in Acts is the Spirit of God uses fellowship. Remember this scripture that I read at the very beginning in Romans, where Paul says, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by you. There's this amazing thing that happens, friends, when we fellowship together, when we're in relationship with others. Friends, we can do more together than we could ever do alone. For it's better when we do life together. So the Spirit of God uses fellowship in ways that I can't even fully describe. The Spirit of God also uses prayer. The Spirit of God uses prayer. We've been focused on that here. I've been focused on that. You've heard me talk a lot about prayer. You see, because when I pray, when you pray, we come to touch the heart of God, and the heart of God touches the Spirit of us, the Spirit in us, and strengthens our inner being. You see, when I come to know God in prayer, my false self, everything that I believe about who I am, begins to die. And God begins to speak to me about my true identity, that I'm His beloved Son. That's what happens. That's part of what happens in prayer. Friends, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God. He uses the fellowship of people. He uses prayer. He uses us when we gather together. My prayer for you today, friends, is this, is that you would have firsthand knowledge about the Spirit of God. And you would have firsthand knowledge of His limitless love in your life. That you would spend time in prayer asking God, God, would you strengthen my inner man? And you would spend time praying for the body of Christ that God would strengthen them on the inside. I don't know what you're dealing with today, but my challenge for you today is this. Would you pursue Jesus with all your heart? Would you pursue Him to have Him strengthen you in your inmost being? I know that some of you may not have ever accepted Jesus Christ in your life. I want to say this, that Jesus loves you. And He has unlimited resources, His love being wide and long and deep. And I pray that you would know that today. You can simply pray and call out to Him and say, God, I want to know You. God, I need Your forgiveness in my life. And the Bible tells us that He will come and dwell in you forever. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your Word, how it guides us and instructs us and gives us life. God, I thank You that You have come to live and dwell in us. And I thank you that we can continue experiencing your power through your Spirit that lives inside of us. God, would you help us today to live for you? And God, for the one who does not know you, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would take a step of faith and they would reach out for you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends, we love you. We hope that you will make a priority to be engaged in God's Word so that God can continue renewing you day by day. Amen. Have a great Sunday.